You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
Last Thursday marked Waitangi Day, with thousands coming together to mark the occasion at the treaty grounds themselves, including a number of politicians. This year, however, in the midst of the Treaty Principles Bill debate, ACT leader David Seymour was asked by his own hapu, Ngāti Rehia, not to attend Waitangi. He ignored this request and chose to attend with his party anyway. During his speech at Waitangi, in an act of protest, many onlookers turned their backs and his microphone was taken away multiple times. For our weekly catch-up, I spoke to the ACT Party's Simon Court about the proceedings at Waitangi. We also discussed the latest unemployment figures, which continue to steadily rise, putting us in the worst place since 2020, as well as unpacking the government's latest emission reduction plan and how achievable it really is. But I started off by asking him about what he saw on Waitangi Day. David Seymour's own hapu, Ngāti Rehia, asked him not to attend Waitangi Day celebrations this year, yet he still chose to attend. Why was this an appropriate decision?
David was invited to speak as a representative of the government and a leader of the coalition party by the organisers of the event. And so it's only appropriate that he attend. He's attended every year. He's been the ACT leader and spoken on the Pai Pai every year. And no doubt, if he hadn't have attended, many of his critics would have complained he wasn't fronting up. And I'm really glad, you know, I attended with him, that ACT was able to contribute to a robust debate at the Pōkeri, and it's something that's been part of Waitangi's robust tradition for many years.
While speaking at Waitangi, David Seymour had his microphone taken away multiple times. The reasoning given behind this was the fact that he did attend despite not being asked to, and he also chose to speak despite also not being asked to by his hapu. What did the ACT Party make of this?
The idea that we can take people's microphones and silence voices or commentary or people sharing ideas that we don't like, that's not how democracy works, and that's not how New Zealand is going to succeed. The way that that David was treated was really unfortunate. I mean, from my perspective, it was kind of childish. But despite all the microphone grabbing and the back turning, David was able to get his message across. Essentially, that identity politics and this concept of a treaty partnership are not working to solve the problems faced by Māori. And that we can actually solve our shared challenges together without abandoning liberal principles and abandoning these concepts of equal rights and democracy. I think most Kiwis get that, and it's unfortunate that there is a small group of people who think they can silence David, the ACT Party, and, you know, people who do want to have a debate about what New Zealand looks like in future.
From hearing from iwi and hapu at Waitangi, what do the ACT Party feel that they gained at Waitangi Day? Is there any messages that you're going to be taking on board and taking forward from this?
What was really interesting was that despite the behaviour of a small group of people who didn't want to hear what David had to say, there was another group of very important people also sitting with the iwi leaders group, who did listen, who brought their chairs forward, who insisted on having space made so they could hear what David had to say. And I think what that shows is that once we get past the bluff and bluster and the pantomime performance, we have really serious problems that we're trying to solve in New Zealand. The ACT Party is interested in good solutions, and yeah, the people who want to find good solutions, who represent iwi and hapu, are interested in them. And we're just going to continue having that positive engagement and making sure that we keep listening. But at the end of the day, Waitangi Day in the Pōkeri is an opportunity for robust debate, and we would expect nothing less.
Who was this group of people that moved forward that you talked about?
Well, many of them were leaders of iwi and hapu who were sitting in the front row of the host group on the Pai Pai. And, you know, if if you were to go back and look at some of the media coverage, you'll see who they are. I don't know all of them by name, but I do know a few of them. And, you know, I was heartened to see, for example, Far North District Council Mayor Moko Tapania, listening to what David had to say, and quite a few others.
The latest unemployment figures came out last week. Unemployment now stands at 5.1%, which is the highest number since September of 2020. Is the ACT Party concerned about this number and its growth?
We certainly are, but unemployment has been rising steadily since 2022. It's essentially the lagging effects of inflation, then a rapid increase in interest rates that the Reserve Bank imposed on the economy to control inflation, but all driven by the previous Labor government's reckless spending, which injected tens of billions of dollars into the economy that had nowhere to go. What we're seeing now is all of that hot air coming out of the economy, and unfortunately, that has resulted in unemployment. That is a lagging indicator of the recession that we've been in. But what we are seeing with the reduction in interest rates is a greater willingness for investors, property developers and others to invest in business, to get going in terms of residential subdivisions and building, and giving employers greater confidence to hire. So we are seeing green shoots in some sectors of the economy, but the best thing that we can do as a government is rein in wasteful spending, make sure we're not imposing undue burdens on the taxpayer, so the Reserve Bank can continue delivering additional mortgage relief and lending relief to the business sector.
You say that all unemployment numbers are a result of the previous Labor government's actions, but since coming into power, the government has cut nearly 10,000 of its own roles. Can you acknowledge that this government plays some part in unemployment?
Certainly can, but the public service in 2017 numbered about 49,000. By the time Labor left power or was kicked out in 2023, that number had risen to nearly 65,000. So it's not unreasonable to ask, were all of these additional people that were hired to spend all the money that Labor borrowed, do we still need them? Are their roles still necessary, or are their roles in fact redundant? And you know, many government departments, their leadership has said, well, actually, the programs that we were running, we're no longer running, and these roles are redundant. Now, I'll put that in context. A few thousand people haven't been made redundant by the public sector. Every week in New Zealand, 15,000 people change jobs. So while I do feel for them personally, and I know some of them personally, I think it's important to recognise that this is a cyclical factor. You know, we have been in a recession, but also the government needs to cut its cloth and needs to find savings wherever we can. Every taxpayer, everyone in New Zealand depends on us to do that.
The government announced their second emissions reduction target last week. This target is to get emissions down by 51 to 55% by 2035 compared to 2005 levels. This is only 1% higher than the previous target. This has been called unambitious by some. Does the ACT Party think the government is doing enough to get emissions down?
Well, this is an incredibly ambitious target. I mean, reducing our emissions by over 50% compared to 2005 levels, while we grow our economy and use more energy and provide more employment, business opportunities. I mean, those two things are very, very difficult to do, grow your economy and reduce emissions. But New Zealand's on track to do that. While the ACT Party is very aware that farmers are struggling to see how they and New Zealand will get by with a reduced dairy herd or by sacrificing vast swathes of productive land and replacing with pine trees, New Zealand is a party to the Paris Agreement. That is what previous governments have signed us up to do. We do need to meet our commitments, particularly when we're thinking about our free trade agreements with Europe and the UK, for example. They need to know we're meeting our commitments or they put our trade relationships at risk. But you will have seen, some of your listeners will have heard that David Seymour has raised some questions about whether the Paris commitment as a whole is working for New Zealand. And this could certainly become a question down the track. So we have ambitious targets now. Whether we're realistically able to meet them in a way that, you know, preserves New Zealand's economic base, that's something that we're going to have to come to grips with as we get towards the end of this decade.
You say that we're on track to meet those goals, but with the current climate policy that we have, Aotearoa isn't forecasted to meet this target, largely because some of the technologies that are planned to be used to meet this target don't exist yet. How do you expect that we're going to achieve this?
Well, it's not clear yet how we're going to achieve all the goals, but the New Zealand government has made it very clear that for now, the targets that James Shaw committed to and that Minister Watts have committed to are the targets, and we're going to continue working towards that. The question you've asked is a question and a problem for all the developed economies that have signed up to the Paris Climate Accord. And, you know, what we're seeing around the world, particularly in Europe and countries like Germany, which have said we're going to end all of our coal-fired electricity production, for example, is they don't have the nuclear, they certainly don't have the renewables to replace it, and they're now drawing electricity from other parts of the grid around the EU. So, you know, these are really difficult problems to solve. New Zealand doesn't have all the answers, but we are going to work very hard on achieving them.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Kaur on the party's role at Waitangi Day, the latest unemployment figures and the government's second emissions reduction target.
That was Simon Kaur from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.